That one sucked.
Yeah. So the ideal, obviously, is that Yaakov be that force for Ruchnius in the world, using whatever Gashmius comes through the bracha of Yitzchak as a support to nurture, to nourish the Birkas Avraham, and Gashmius is Esav's. That's it. Let him be the one to build the roads and the buildings and the new inventions and run the markets, etc. What happens when the roles diverge and they become unclear and commingled? So he says, well, look, what happens when Esav enters the realm of Ruchnius? What happens? You have Christianity and you have Islam, which essentially became in the world two very powerful religious forces, but murdered hundreds of millions of people throughout the centuries. All right? Ad hayom hazeh. When you have the God idea, the Ruchnius, when you have the idea of God distorted, so it becomes distorted in a way which all of mankind suffers. And conversely, what happens when Yaakov ventures into a realm in which he has no role? Into that world of Gashmius for its own sake, that is a curse. Because then you have Jews become more tawdry than everyone else, and more materialistic than everyone else. And that's what you get, the jappiness, you get the crassness, you get materialistic excess that really the world has not seen, unfortunately, but amongst Jews. And when that happens, then our spiritual powers become paralyzed, even deadened. And that's when Esav assumes a superior role to get us back on track. Yitzchak's plan really was a good one, all right? Rivka intervened because it could not necessarily succeed given the personality of Esav at the time. But even the result is one which we could prosper under, thrive under. Yaakov has the Birkas Avraham. Talal Shemayim Mishmanei Haaret. The attention the Gemara says, what's Talal Shemayim? Medrash says, Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah. Shemanei Haaret, Torah Shebalpeh. Where does that come from? You see, it's not material for its own sake. What nourishes Jews? It's not money. It's Torah. That's our lifeblood. So if we perceive the Torah as our lifeblood, then in fact, the Shemen comes, and the Tal, and the Dagon, and the Tirosh, and the political dominance as well, that all comes as ancillary to the Pirkas Avraham. But when we go off the Derech, and we distort our mission, then in fact we become lower than anyone else, as the Chazal say, right? We are like Kakochavim, or like Kafar Haaretz. Either one of the two. We're unreachable like the stars, lofty and sublime, or we're like the dust of the earth, trampled upon. And you see, there's no people in the world that's given over to such extremes more than the Jewish people. You see it. We're either at one end or the other. But to be able to have the balance that Yitzchak wants, so that is a goal. That's what we want for ourselves as well. You know, we don't, again, our ideal is not for a person to renounce the world, but like Rav Kook said, to consecrate the world, to sanctify the world. Other religions are involved in that type of asceticism, not us. But what happens when we partake of the world in such a way where it's, halavai, we should have some ascetics in the Jewish world today. We have too many gluttons and materialists. When that happens, then Esav is sent as a rod in which to remind us that we're off the derech. Because when we become those crass materialists and we distort the bracha that Yitzchak gave us, then in fact God's plan for the world is frustrated, and something has to be done to remind the Jewish people that we're off the derech, and we have to get back on the derech. Yes, that's a good point. Unfortunately, we walked in just a few minutes late, so we took up that issue, and the answer was the big difference between the two is that Yishmael was not Rivka's Sarah's son. But Esav was Rivka's son. No. different parameters, because Yitzhak had to work out, and again, I mentioned, I think may have been right before you came in, Yitzhak was confronted with a situation, and it's all mice have a similar bonum. How do we deal with such a situation? Not everybody's cut out to learn. So how do we deal with a child? How do we deal with such a child? So it's not, you can't, God can't simply say, well, he's a bad apple, throw him out. No, he's the son of Yitzhak and Rivka. I mean, he's Avram Avinu's Zainikal. You're going to throw him out? Yishmael is a different family. He's Hagar. He's different. He's not us. Esav's our own flesh and blood. Esav is as much Yitzhak and Rivka's son as Yaakov.
Rivka thought, Rivka's mother, and she was going
to throw him out. Not throw him out, but all she saw was, so what was Rivka's plan? It's a good question. What was Rivka's plan for Esav then? That's not entirely clear, although what I think it is that Rivka felt Esav had to be in a completely subordinate role. Yaakov had to have all the brachas. But in that case, and it could be that this is what Yitzhak meant when he said to Esav, Gam Baruch Yeh, the second person should be blessed too. Blessed as a as an adjunct to Yaakov in both spheres, not just one. But let Esav be a subordinate to Yaakov. Period. Right. That was good. So that was the question we raised, and the answer to that was Rivka could not do that, because no parent is going to say, going to agree lechatchila, it's a bad bad apple. You know, I was talking to someone the other day, and he said to me, we were talking about the shidduchim, this and that. So he says, you know, his children are fine, but one of his sons, he said, if someone will come to him and ask a shidduch for his son, he would say to them, why? Why would you want such a child? All right. Most parents are not like that. Most are not like that. He was saying it facetiously anyway, but most are not like that. So you're going to say Yitzhak's plan, I mean, think about it. Yitzhak is a tzaddik. He's a tremendous chacham, because he's endeavoring to take an Esav and make him part of Klal Yisrael. An Esav! No. Rivka saw that in this context, Esav could not succeed. That his hatred was such he would destroy Yaakov. That's the next pasuk after the bracha. Uforakto lamaltzav recha vayistom Esav es Yaakov ala bracha sheberecho aviv. He hated him, a passionate hatred. The Medrash says in 2 weeks, Rashi says in Vayishlach halacha he biyadu Esav son le Yaakov. Vayomer Esav belibo yikrevu yemei evel aviv argos Yaakov achi. When the days of the mourning for my father come near, I'll kill Yaakov. So Chazal say, I'm trying to think, I think it was Rav Aviner quoting the Medrash. He said, what kind of son is going to say, I hope my father dies quickly so I can kill my brother? Yikrevu yimei evilavi. Let the days of mourning come near. Because he wanted his father to die. He knew he wouldn't want to disrespect his father. Esau was a tremendous mechaved av. But who would say, I want my father to die so that I can kill my brother? That's Esav. That's the depth of the hatred that Esav had. And Yitzhak only realized it now. Yitzhak wanted Esav to be a partner, because that, you know, that was his wish for his son. Why not? But he saw at the very end, that's the great charada. What's the trembling? Get in the second, Ruth. What's the trembling? The trembling was that Yitzhak saw, with everything that Avram had invested in him, Yitzhak came this close to destroying the Beis Avram. Because had in fact Esav been given primary power in the material and political realm, he would have destroyed Yaakov. So Yitzhak saw the only thing that he was entrusted with was transmitting the Mesorah to one of his children, or both of his children, just carrying forward the Bris Avram, securing the base of Rome. And Yitzhak came this close. But he, Esav was a little tarried in finding food that day. He came very close to destroying the base of Rome. That was his great trembling, because he realized his error. And he realized, unfortunately, Rivka was correct, that the only role Esav could play, because of his own Bechira, not because of his inherent nature, his own Bechira, the only role he could play is as completely subordinate to Yaakov and as that antagonist to Yaakov. He is an antagonist. He will become again a subordinate, who recognizes Yaakov, v'ishtachavu l'cha b'nei mecha, when? So the pasuk I mentioned. The day va'alu Moshe ma'artzin l'shpot esharei sov, v'yisol Hashem amlucha. The day when the Malchus Hashem becomes apparent on earth, that's the day when Esav will be brought again back into our fold and become exactly the personality that Yitzhak envisioned for him, a partner to Yaakov in the service of Hashem. Okay. Yitzhak realized it. That was the Harada Gdola. Yitzhak realized when Esav. Yeah, it's Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Parachav Zayin.
Can we say that genetics is superior to environment, or the same room, the same home, the same everything,
Right. I think they both play a role, because you see there are other cases, for example, different Indian, but he asked a good question. Genetics plays a role and nurturing plays a role too. Alright, I don't want to cop out, but I think that's how Chazal held. How do we know this? So the Pasuk says that when they were born, Vayetze HaRishon Admoni Kulo Kaderes Sayar, he was Admoni, he was all red. Who else is called Admoni? Exactly. So Chazal say, must come to Navishu. Chazal say that David had the same personality as Esav. Same personality. His Bechir was different, though. And that's what it is. His Bechir was different. David was, he forced himself to rein in those rambunctious aspects of his personality. And therefore, he became David HaMelech. What's David HaMelech? Material power, spiritual power. Torah ugedula b'makom echad. That's exactly the Birkas Yitzchak. So David had that that ability. Esau, like anybody else, he had Bechira too. Had he chosen more wisely, then it could have been different. And Yitzchak hoped he would. Rav Hirsch says, but he's critical of Yitzchak and Rivka in a sense. There's a nice essay in his Parish on Chumash, which we'll read at the beginning of the Sedra, that Shlomo Melch said, Chanoch l'nar al pidarko, you have to raise each child according to their own personality, their own temperament. And he said Yitzchak and Rivka failed in his youth to harness the energies of Esav properly. He's critical of them. But you see, I won't be so critical, because Yitzchak had a very good idea of what Esav was. And his, he had a very good idea what Esav was. That's also true. You can't always blame the parents for the children. That is true. Right. At 63. At 63, you assume the nature of your child is formed already. Maybe not. They could always change. But, in fact, when Esav, the natures are changed. But, in fact, it all comes down to Bechir in the end. Had the choice. And Yitzhak, again, his plan was a good one. Because he always knew who Esav was. And what he wanted to do was somehow exploit his talents, such as they were, for the purpose of Avodas Hashem. That was his goal. It was a very laudable goal. We shouldn't mock it. Shouldn't trivialize it. We shouldn't look at the story superficially, simplistically, as if Yitzhak doesn't know what's going on. He knows very well what's going on. But in one crucial aspect, whether such a thing was possible projecting forward, in that sense, he was not correct. And Rivka was correct. And that was the godless of Rivka. Mind you, by the way, as we discussed last year, if you have any notes, that Rivka received a nevuah that they have two separate nations. They couldn't work together. But Yitzhak did not receive that nevuah, and therefore he felt there was some way to salvage Esav. Rivka knew differently, and therefore she acted accordingly. Okay, next week, Vayetzeh.